available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner, going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions. Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things formerly Pac-12 football.
For one more day.
At least for one more show, for this show. If we get through this show, yeah. Got a little announcement later on. We've put our thinking caps on.
Mm.
They're pointy.
They're pointy.
They say dunce on them.
Yes.
But that's our thinking caps
mm-hmm.
of what we want to do for the future of the show. Mm-hmm. After doing our deep dive of all 12 of the former Pac-12 football teams. So we'll come up with that a little bit later. We want to get to your questions, of course. You can send us questions at Pac-12 Podcast. Wait, where's our email? Oh, Pac-12Podcast@gmail.com. I forget us already. Twitter at Pac-12 Podcast. And the website is Pac-12Podcast.com. Go check that out. I don't know if we have any new Apple reviews, David, but
we haven't in some time, but let me give it a little gander.
Take a look.
We've got three.
Three reviews.
Five-star review from Larry Scott 2, football podcast. I made the mistake of pushing play on last week's episode, falling, breaking every bone in my body, and was stuck listening to this, quote, football podcast. 3 hours later, and I now know everything about some podunk town outside of L.A. Great stuff, everyone. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Storage Unit Pickin', where I talk an equally little amount about Pac-12 football. I'll super chat donate Brian and Steve 1/5 of a West Texas mic for every new sub I get. Hopefully it'll be enough so these two can retire and not have to live on their parents' home next to the oil refinery. Keep it mediocre. All right, so that is Storage Unit Pickin. So this is a money-making opportunity for us now.
Oh, I like it.
1/5 of West Texas Mike, if I'm remembering correctly, that's a dollar. So if you go and subscribe to Storage Unit Pickin, we have it on good authority from Larry Scott 2 that we're going to get a dollar for each one of his new subscribers.
Nice.
All right.
Love it.
This is a 5-star review from Lil Tekka up next. Realization, David Woods looks exactly like Alex Jones, doppelganger.
I don't know who Alex Jones is.
Wow, I would think that would be in your cinematic universe. He's a crazy, absolutely insane, I don't even think right wing does it justice, but he's like a huge conspiracy theorist who had a crazy radio show for the longest time, and then he got sued because he was a Sandy Hook truther. I think he lost a ton of money doing that because he was telling all he was like harassing these parents of anyway, very good. I'm glad I look like him.
Okay,
5-star review from Everybody's Hugging. Pac-12 never die. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. This podcast proves that classic theory wrong. Ryan Abraham and Wavid Duds reject reality to stubbornly carry on the dying light of the former powerhouse conference. Yeah. Despite all their rail jumping in every episode, I hope they pull this off until the prophecy of reunification comes true. Keep up the mediocre work. By the way, when are we going to get a review of each of your 2023 team-by-team preseason predictions?
We'll get to that later.
I thought we did that. Did we not?
I don't think. Oh, a recap of the preseason predictions?
Yeah.
I think we kind of did that, maybe.
I thought we maybe did.
We were close.
I kind of half-assed it in the end of one of the questions, I think, one
Yeah,
week.
I think you did that one of those times. And I am, if you're watching us live on our YouTube channel, thank you for that. I am sporting my Jockey Pac-12 polo. I got a lot of Pac-12 stuff that's like basically August 2nd is no longer exists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got some kind of newsy stuff, and then we'll kind of talk about the show a little bit. I don't know if you saw this David Woods, but for the
Oregon State Beavers
and the
Washington State Cougars.
Give them a growl. They have their home football schedule released of where it's going to be. The Pac-12 Conference tweeted this out, which is so weird, but they're still going to be the two schools under the Pac-12 banner. The Pac-12 won't exist as we know it, but it's still in some form. And a combination of the CW and Fox will be broadcasting their games. So the definitely going for availability. Almost every household in America, you would get the broadcast networks. You can, because it's broadcast everywhere. I know there's been some criticism of you're going to be on a, you know, a going up against other games that maybe people would want to see more, but the you will be able to watch Oregon State games and Washington State games, the home games, because that's what they control, if you want. I think they're getting about $1 million a game or so. So not getting paid a ton, but you will be able to watch the games, which was one of the bigger criticisms through the last 12 years where you couldn't watch games because of the Pac-12 network. I'm cool with this. I know, I think most people seem pretty cool with it, but there's some that were kind of critical of the decision here. But what do you think about
what's the nature of the criticism? Because I dealt this particular hand. I mean, what were people anticipating? They would get like hot ticket ESPN times. Like, it's you're going to be on two networks that everyone can get, and you're getting paid a little bit. I mean, you're getting paid $1 million a game. Seems fine.
Yeah, and you will get a lot of, you know, the fan experience should be better. Daytime games,
yeah,
more of that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, the tailgating times will be better. Like, all this stuff will be better. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a return to if people can just remember, like, as recently as, I don't know, 20 years ago, not even all games are televised. Like, if you had told Oregon State fan in 2004, hey, all your games are going to be on broadcast networks, many of them on Fox and some of them on the CW, I think they would jump at that. Now, it's obviously it's a crazy world where the money matters so much and all that kind of shit. But for Washington State and Oregon State, it's I would embrace a different approach, which is, oh, we get to watch all of our games and they're on at normal times. And we're just going to enjoy the experience of being football fans and back away from this. I don't know. I think the fever that has caught everyone else in college football because for better or worse, you have been left behind. Like, you've been left behind by a lot of bad actors. So embrace the bucolic majesty of 1990s college football and just enjoy that your team's on TV and it's on TV that everyone can watch.
Anthony put in the chat, Gilmore Girls, The OC, and Smallville reruns, followed by Wazoo versus San Diego State.
Yep.
Don't forget the All-American. One of the stars of the show, I was. Well, I was an extra on one episode or two episodes, but still. Yeah.
Sorry. That was it. That was all you had.
Someone tweeted, I think it was one of the national TV, their national like radio sports things, were like, have you ever intentionally watched the CW? And I was like, well, I did because I was on like a show, but that was, I had to watch. I didn't watch. Chris used to watch. I think he still does. He watched the show all the time.
And I watched a shitload of Gilmore Girls back in the day.
I think my ex-wife used to do that.
Yeah, too. Me and your ex-wife.
Yeah. She would watch some of that stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. So anyway.
A little Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You watch that?
Yeah, she was very much a crush on her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The movie or the TV show?
No, the TV show. Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember the movie. But
it was not good.
It was not good. No.
Kind of campy.
Yeah. Yogi Roth tweeted, he's a big fan of this for both the Beaver football team and the Cougar football team. They will get a big stage each weekend, and in my opinion, both teams will make noise and win a lot of games this fall while becoming one of the nation's biggest college football storylines given the landscape of the game.
Gotta love Yogi. Gotta love positivity.
He's looking at some very positive way to look at this. So, but yeah, I think I agree. I mean, I think this is what you needed to do. I think some people are thinking no one's going to watch. But I think just being available when you kind of go the opposite of where you were before. The biggest problem was availability. If it was a good game, no one could watch it. And it's one of those things where if you start winning some games, if you're losing, then definitely people are not going to be tuning in. But you could get some casual fans if you're winning games. So, I don't know. We'll see about that.
We will.
Well, we got to talk a little calimony. I mean, isn't it supposed to sound like alimony?
Yeah.
But you just say calimony anyway.
The calimony.
Calimony. I think I got this picture from, it was like the Bro Bible or something, but it's a Cal fan. You took the kids and they have the Oregon logo, Washington logo, SC logo, and then hashtag calimony. This sort of was like a joke in the beginning where it was like, okay, well, that's not really, I think you were like, it's really not going to happen.
Yep.
The Board of Regents, like they met and, it's happening. So UCLA, which is a major institution, big part, the California landscape, and Cal, University of California at Berkeley, connected, same Board of Regents, right? Like they're all kind of under the same umbrella. This is a little different because it's like two big programs, they're rivals in ways, but they sort of have like a governing body above them, and basically they're saying, all right, well, UCLA, since you left, you're going to make a lot more money than your big brother or little brother, Cal, however you want to say. You now need to pay them. And we thought the number could be up to $10 million, which seemed like ridiculous. Like, there's no way that's going to happen. Well, it's $10 million. And they wanted to do 6 years, but they're going to do three and then revisit it. Mm-hmm. And maybe three more. And as you said, or before we went record, I didn't even think about this. They could up it, increase.
They could increase the amount. They could increase the tenure. They could do any number of things.
But this is insane, right? Like, I want to get UCLA fan reaction. Tell us what, any background I missed on this whole thing and what the fan reaction is. Because it seems like,
I mean, the fan reaction is, as you might suspect, measured, very controlled, not at all upset. I think so. First, high level, this shouldn't end up mattering. Like, if UCLA is a well-run organization, it should not end up mattering. However, we have seen UCLA do UCLA things in the past. The university should just eat the $10 million because I don't know, but I think it's less than 0.5% of their annual budget. So just it's $10 million. Here, go. Secondly, it's so I'm of many, many, many minds about it. One, I don't think Cal as a football program, as a athletics program, should go under. And I was more or less on board with the idea of some sort of subsidization coming from not UCLA, but from the university system as a whole to make up the lack of what they previously had. Right up until they signed on to go to the fucking ACC for, I think, what are they getting? $10 million a year and they're not even getting paid for a while. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Once you do that, you're basically you're saying, oh, I am not going to be responsible at all. It's like, say you've got like a,
like if they stayed,
say you have a wayward child, who's going to college and you pay their tuition. And then they start, saying, hey, I need more money for tuition. But you're like, I already paid that. And then it turns out they've gotten like heavily into drugs. Do you just keep giving them money even though they say it's for tuition?
Yeah, you're an enabler at that point.
Yeah, no. Cal's gotten heavily into drugs. That's what going to the ACC. Going into the ACC required that you were heavily into drugs. So that's not promoting fiscal responsibility. And it's also like, when did history start with this? So UCLA made a decision to go to the Big Ten. Okay. Well, Cal made a decision to renovate its stadium that's going to have them paying off debt until, I think, literally 100 fucking years from now. Mm-hmm. What was there a UC Regent guidance on that? Because that's costing everyone a lot of money. I mean, you think that amount of debt is just being paid by athletic department funds? It's not. So, okay, that's costing the university system as a whole. Why isn't that being looked at? So there are many different ways to look at it. I think ultimately, if UCLA, all you can do is go forward with it. If UCLA is well run, if they approach this correctly, and I think it'll largely be the responsibility of the new chancellor, whoever that ends up being, that should probably come out in the next month or so. If that person has a good head on his shoulders, then he's going to understand that you don't take $10 million out of your athletic department budget, which is very small. You just kind of squeeze it out of this, that, and the other, and send it off. But I don't know. I don't know how much discretionary money the university system as a whole has, because again, budgets are appropriated from the UC Regents. So we will see. It's very exciting times.
But the funny thing is, like, they could revisit it in 3 years. I didn't even think about the possibility of, like, you bump it up, you know, like, oh, we're going to make it worse, you know?
Yeah. Well, if Cal's situation gets worse, if the ACC goes under and say they are kicked to the Pac-2 or whatever, Mountain West, if that happens and say the Big Ten money comes in higher than the projection that they had, which was about $60 million, then you could absolutely see a situation where Cal's money-grubbing administration decides that they're going to come back for more and just continue to subsist off of UCLA's largesse in perpetuity. I mean, I think this definitively settles which one of these schools is Big Brother and which one is Little Brother. It's a sad day for the University of California at Berkeley in many ways.
We had a comment on YouTube from Colt. Can't wait to see where the, quote, Cal Athletics, brought to you by UCLA Athletics, patch will be on the jerseys.
I think it would be amazing if they insisted on that. If I remember correctly, the money that was going to go to Cal, it was going to be used explicitly for some sort of, like, student athlete like amelioration program, like something to make the whole experience of going to the ACC or whatever better, and like mental health stuff and all that kind of crap. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but I remember reading that at the beginning of this whole process. I don't know what measures UCLA can even take to fight it, because it's sort of like fighting yourself. It's like punching yourself in the face, because again, they're all part of the same. I mean, they're technically all part of the University of California. They are all the same school and some
same fight song and all that stuff.
Well, not fuck you.
It's like a Borg.
What's great is that no other university system is dealing with this bullshit. Like, Washington doesn't have to pay Washington State, even though there is, like, it's a state university. They're both state universities. Like, UT whatever isn't complaining about UT Austin going to the SEC. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, University of Wisconsin Madison doesn't care that Wisconsin Green Bay hired Doug Gottlieb as their head coach.
Oh,
and
he's
still there to do a radio show at the same time. But for UCLA,
fearless prediction is that he is fired within 3 years.
Okay.
Fearless prediction.
We have a comment. Vishnu says the Regents clearly don't have any formula or rationale, just vibes. Went $60 million to $30 million in a few days on a whim.
I know, it's beautiful.
So that's kind of interesting. And then Thomas, he said, so this was when you were talking about what they should do. Problem is, the UC budget doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. Office of the President funding comes from indirect cost recovery from the, I can't, it's cut off here, something on campus.
From every campus.
From every campus. Okay.
Obviously, no one knows what that means. Obviously. Like, do you know what that means?
No, I don't know.
No, it's a Thomas comment. Love you. Here we are. UCLA will owe many millions of dollars every year.
Yeah.
I'm just going to guess in perpetuity. I don't think this is ending after 3 years.
I think it was one thing if Cal and Stanford stayed behind and didn't join a power conference. There's only four of them left. And yes, we know the ACC could basically explode before they've even played a game in the conference.
Aren't they getting sued it makes more sense. Constituent members?
Yeah, there's something new, I think, with North Carolina is trying something new too. I mean, there's problems going on. You know, Florida State, Clemson have sued. There's been countersuits back and forth. Like, that's not going to end well. Like, when there's suits and countersuits, you know, you're in your family. Like, they're not going to stay together until 2036. Things are going to, you know, it's probably going to blow up faster than we think. And the whole college football landscape is changing. But it does it is weird. Like, you jump from one sinking ship to another one that has two torpedoes on its side. It looks like it's going to sink fairly soon.
Yeah.
But I think if they just stayed, I think Calamone would make more sense.
Yeah.
But the fact that they left for, you know, potential greener pastures.
Well, it's think of this like mitigation clauses and coaching contracts. So if you continue to get paid, so all these NFL guys who then go back to college, like you're getting paid your NFL salary, like you're getting paid $6 million for the next like 5 years. What incentive do you have to go get a job that like pays you similarly? You don't.
Yeah.
Because you're still getting paid your NFL salary. So you can go get a job being a coordinator or whatever. You're not trying to move up in the world. Cal has no incentive now to make, you know, more, you know, profound switches. Like, honestly, if they got kicked out of the ACC, they'd probably be like, okay, well, now we know we can go back to that well and just get more of UCLA's money. Like, they're probably like, oh, damn, we really shot ourselves in the foot going to the ACC. We could have just stayed in the Pac-2 and we would have really gotten all this money.
Yeah. Jim says, can't Cal just use all that FTX crypto money to pay their debts? Let me put that up on there. I don't know what that is, but sure, I'm not versed in the crypto worlds.
That, again, two off-brand things from you today. You don't know who Alex Jones is, and you're not a crypto guy.
No. I like greenbacks. I don't, you know.
Feels like you should be a crypto guy.
Crypto,
you know, you're
like
more like babies. You're more like an late 19th century conservative than a 21st century conservative.
I am.
Okay. Yeah, you want the gold standard. You want that thing back. You don't want this these newfangled ideas. This Bitcoin. What is that?
I mean,
is it a coin? Can I hold it? No, then I don't want it.
I mean, people have like servers in their basement, like trying to mine this stuff.
And apparently it's destroying the world.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I don't understand. Yeah. Like,
I try to wrap my head around it, and I'm like, wait, why is it requiring that much energy to run math on your computer?
I guess it's a lot of math.
It's a lot of math and a lot of computers. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Seems bad.
So I don't know. I mean, I've read stories where people had like, you know, millions of dollars worth of crypto on like a thumb drive.
And then they lose it?
They lose the password. No, they have the drive and they don't know what the password is and they can't get it. They're like, oh, so you have millions of dollars on this thing and you just can't access it. So I'm not going to pretend to understand what it is. I don't, you know, I put money into my mutual funds every month and it goes up with the stock market or down with the stock market. And that's what I do. So I used to, when I was an engineer, I used to trade stocks because I was working in tech, and I knew like, oh, Nvidia is like this crazy good graphics card company that we would like, you know, sell products to and or software to and stuff. And so I kind of knew that stuff. So I would buy a bunch of stocks and I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not a stock trader. So I just dollar cost averaging, put money in every month. And that's what I do.
That's
so
all.
I don't know about crypto.
Anyone should do. Everything else is more or less a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Do you think crypto?
It's just a matter of timing. Like, you can take advantage of a Ponzi scheme. You can take advantage of a pyramid scheme. You can take advantage of all of it. But you got to time it right. Yeah. Otherwise, you're left holding the bag.
Yeah. No idea what crypto is or anything like that. All right. Anything else you want to? Ahmad, my buddy Ahmad is in here. His reaction. Okay, so Ahmad, he wanted to know about the reaction to Oregon State, Washington State playing football in the CW. We talked about that a little bit earlier in the show, if you want to go check that out. But both Dave and I are, you know,
pro.
Positive. Yeah, pro. Since I'm a CW star anyway. Yeah. So.
And I'm a big fan of the Gilmore Girls, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I watch a lot of that shit. Roswell. You ever see that show?
No, is that good?
Yeah, it's not good. It's about aliens who are dressed up as attractive teens in Roswell, New Mexico, and all the hijinks they get up to over a couple of seasons. Yeah. The great William Sadler stars as the gruff sheriff in town, who slowly becomes a hero and a protagonist.
Oh, here's the thing. Jim D says, FTX sponsored Cal's Field and went out of business, and the founder went to prison. That's a joke. I wonder if crypto.com will do the same thing, because like they got the old Staples Center. They got the name on that now. So that's funny, FTX. I wonder if the founder of FTX went to Cal or something.
Yep.
For CW, one of my good friends from college at USC, he was an engineer too, and his cousin, my buddy Matt, his cousin Julie went to Northwestern, and she was like in drama and all that kind of stuff. That's a big drama school, and comes out to LA, was like living on our couch in Manhattan Beach for a while. And now she's like a big time producer, and did a lot of the shows on the CW, like the Vampire Diaries and all that stuff. Like she's the executive producer for all that stuff. So it's funny, like, you know, she went from like living on my couch to now she's like some big producer. So I would like the CW for that, because, you know, a friend of mine is produces a bunch of those shows. So.
All right.
Yeah. So a little CW talk there. Why don't we do it? We can take a break and come back to, I think we have a couple questions maybe and announcements, and we'll go with that. So back in a minute, everybody. All righty. We're back here.
Yeah.
On the Podcast of Champions.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about the future of the show.
We do. Did your voice just crack?
I don't think so. Did it?
It sounded like it did.
Maybe.
Are you getting emotional?
I'm getting old. Emotionally old.
Does your voice crack as you get older and you lose testosterone the same way it cracks when you gain it?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Are you going to find out?
Probably. I get older every second.
So do we all.
Yeah. That's a constant.
Yeah. None of us are Benjamin Buttoning through life.
That would be fun, right?
No.
No, probably
not. I think the whole point of that movie was it's not fun.
Yeah, it would suck.
Ending life as an old baby?
Yeah.
It'd be terrible.
An old baby would suck, yeah. But anyway.
How do you eat?
You get like bottles. You're eating, pureed stuff.
Losing the power of speech.
Jeez. But you know everything, like your brain. I don't know.
Maybe you get stupid like a baby again.
Yeah. If you get stupid, then it doesn't matter. Then you don't know. We're definitely getting stupider.
Yeah.
Maybe we were stupid when we thought about what we could do for the future of the show.
Mm.
The good thing, we're the Podcast of Champions. Like, that's not going to change.
True.
The problem is, I don't know if you guys all realized, the conference that we were covering –
no longer exists.
Blew up. Yeah. It's like gone. Gonzo.
So backstory first. We started out with the idea that we were going to cover the Pac-12 diaspora going forward. Just cover all of these teams in their new conferences. This idea, while cute and novel and potentially funny in the long run, especially 5 or 6 years down the road when they are no closer to reforming the Pac-12. It sounds very stupid and time consuming. And frankly, not a whole lot of fun, I think, for us, which is really what it comes down to. Because we don't make much money, if anything, off this show. So it has to be fun. And that wasn't going to be very fun for us. And also, I don't think – so for the longest time, we joke. We do a shitty job covering the conference.
Yes.
We do an okay job. Like, we cover the conference and, like, we – I know way more about Arizona football than I ever really wanted to know. Like, it's – it's a sickness. We're going to do less of a good job if we try to cover the Big 12, try to cover the ACC, try to cover the Pac-2. And all these things together, it's going to be even more surface level. And I just don't want to do that. I don't think it's very fun. And I don't think it's a good spend of your time. If you're into it for Arizona State takes, and we don't have a dog in the fight. Like, I do daily coverage of UCLA. He does daily coverage of USC. And so in our, like, constant walks of life, we are, you know, recruiting battles against these schools. Or, you know, I've got to write a game preview about Arizona, so I've really got to know about them. Or I've got to write a game preview about Colorado, so I really have to know about them. If I don't have that as a constant, then I don't really have to know about them. And knowing me, this is all just going to get lazier and lazier and not very enjoyable. So we're going to be a Big Ten shot show. That's what we're going to do. We want to cover parts of the Pac-12. So what we're going to probably do is mostly a Big Ten show. But then we will check in with the Pac-12 diaspora, which is about the level at which I'm kind of comfortable covering the rest of the Pac-12 going forward. So we'll check in with the Big 12. We'll check in with the ACC. We'll check in with the Pac-2. But mainly, we're going to be a Big 10 show.
Yeah, I think that was the initial thought. And then we had these kind of delusions of grandeur that we could continue this on, at least for the first year. And it just, the more we did it, you know, we went through all of the team previews, and it was great to talk to all the different publishers. But it's like you're just drifting further and further away from most of these schools. I mean, I got a call from, you know, Utah radio station to do a show, and I was just like, why? Like, they're not going to play. But Utah State is playing USC. But there's going to be a distance there now. And I think for me, I mean, I've had a lot of fun doing the show. I think we'll hopefully have fun doing it. And if not, it'll probably stop. But working with David has been great. And then to me, like, it helped me do my job better covering USC. That's our main thing. He's covering UCLA. Because I don't think I would knew enough about Oregon State when USC would play Oregon State. And you're just kind of like figuring stuff out, where the last, you know, 8 years or whatever, when USC would play Oregon State, I knew a lot about them. You know, I knew what was going on. And then when you would talk about it on, when I've talked about it on the USC podcast, I feel like I had a lot of knowledge about the team that USC was facing coming up before even doing any research, just because we've been doing the show and we would hear from fans from the different programs. So to me, I think this was, even though it doesn't make money and it definitely takes a bunch of time, I think it helped my regular job. So it would justify what I was doing. I don't know if you feel the same way, David. And now we would just be doing it for shits and giggles. And it just, I think that's going to be, you know, too hard to do.
Yeah. And I mean, mainly, I think the giggles would be less. Like, it's fun when there's like context and like it's all part of a thing, but like there isn't some broader whole that all these schools are part of anymore. And yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate. And it's a, you know, I do think it's still a very sad thing that it all broke apart. But it also makes, like, doing the cohesion of a show, it would just be all, like, tongue-in-cheek bullshitty. And, like, we have a lot of fun on the show, and we like to tell jokes, and we like to fuck around. But doing an entire thing that's basically a farce doesn't seem, I don't know, doesn't really feel fun.
Yeah.
So we're still going to cover the Pac-12 briefly at the end of each show, more or less. And we've committed to continuing to do Pac-12 power rankings. That'll be our one little addition to the farce. But yeah, going forward, Big Ten show. We are going to take a little hiatus.
Yes.
Because we got to reform our audio. And so any friendly neighborhood audio engineers and graphic people.
Yes. We need help with all that
stuff. We need a new logo, right? Do we need a new logo? Yeah, because it says Pac.
We could adjust, I think, the current logo, but yeah, anything that has Pac-12 in it.
We need
that. Podcast of Champions is fine. We're going to be the Podcast of Champions.
Yeah.
And I think the shtick will be we're going to be, you know, the foremost experts on Big Ten football, even though we don't know squat about Big Ten football. So I think that's kind of be the, at least the joke going in. But we'll do our power rankings, like David said. We'll still talk about, but we can't go in depth and preview every game, and right. We just can't do all that kind of stuff.
No.
I do want to, I mean, I think college football in general is going to be curious about the Pac-2, you know? If Oregon State starts off the season like 7-0 or something, you know, they'd beaten Oregon, like, that's interesting. Or Washington State, if they do that, I mean, I think they can be can make kind of national news, and we would certainly talk about that kind of stuff. But yeah, Chris in the chat says new team sound effects. Yeah, we'll need some of that too. Sound effects. Yeah, we're going to need some help kind of getting this going. But we'll rebrand a little bit.
But if you want to do sound effects, if you want to provide those for the low, low price of for free to us, we will take it.
Any help, we could probably use some of that.
Yeah, we need a whole new intro sound thing. Yeah. Maybe one where we're not talking in it so that we're not repeating the same things when we talk again.
Yeah, I think that was good.
Yeah.
Amy said she saw this coming and said it's totally understandable. So I was a little worried about Amy because I know, you know, she's a big fan of the show, Utah supporter, and she's been awesome for us on the show. So thanks for at least understanding there. I think it's going to be tough. We have some like Cal comments in here.
Hmm.
This is from, okay, let me read it up here. Sorry, it's hard to see. If the Cal system is anything like Washington's system, then yes, the regents are the ones who have to authorize any kind of huge spending like Memorial Stadium. So they would have to have authorized that.
Big breaking news.
What?
NCAA Football 2025, the video game, will be coming out on July 19th.
July 19th. Okay, July 19th. I saw some like videos and stuff of that.
Are you a video game guy?
I was, but not really anymore. Like I had like the original Xbox with like played Halo and stuff. And I played the original NCAA football and I liked it a lot.
The original?
Whatever. Like, you know, like back in early 2011, 12, like those, I would do dynasty things and stuff. Yeah, I like that. But I was reading some of the stuff today, some of the tweets. And I kind of came to the conclusion, I thought I like might buy a gaming system and then I might buy the game. And this might be the whole crypto thing too. I'm just like, I've read all about gaming's way different now and you have to buy all these add-ons and, you know, downloading games and you're not putting a CD into a player anymore and stuff. And I'm just like, I don't think I'm going to do it.
I mean, you still can, I think. It's not a CD though. It's like a little thing. I think you can still get the physical thing, though.
But it just seems like I'm too old now. It's passed me by. Like, I would, maybe, you know, but I don't think I'm going to.
Wow.
I thought about it before. I was like, I'll probably do this. And I'm like, I don't think I will. Are you going to do it?
I think I've told you my thing with video games, right? That I buy an entirely new system once every 5 years to play one game for approximately 10 hours and then I never turn it on again.
Oh, no, I don't think you've... Maybe you've
it's like, I don't know what, if I'm paying penance for something or if like I just feel like this is the offering I need to provide to the video game gods. But I don't have time to do it. But there's some like part of my brain that's like, yeah, but what if you did? And so then I do it, I buy it, I play a game. Like I played, I bought... What was this? A PlayStation 4 to play Red Dead Redemption 2, the cowboy game. And I played it for, I probably played that for like 15 to 20 hours. And then I never turned it on again, ever. And it's not because it wasn't a fun game. I just
spent like $500 on that.
Yeah. Spent a lot of money on that. And then that was it. My point is, yes, I probably will do this because this will be the thing that gets me to do that again.
And I think when I sort of stopped playing, like the online thing was becoming a deal and you would play like, I'd play Halo against like my friends and I was pretty good. And then you would play online against like a 14-year-old kid and get absolutely destroyed. I was just like, I don't know about this.
I never got into online gameplay of any kind for anything. I think that might be where I like kind of, you know, the two branches in the wood and I took the other one.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I don't want to play with other people unless they're in my house. Like I'll play with somebody else who's in my house, but not, no.
The whole video, like, and
I don't want to play with some rando. No.
The whole video game thing now, like there are people that have YouTube channels with like tens of millions of followers watching them play video games.
I mean, they're trying to make it into a sport. It's a sport now. Yeah. Playing like stupid games, like a game where you're like in a car playing a sport. It's stupid, but whatever.
Yeah.
We're just like, we are that image of an old man yelling at a cloud right now.
No, you can get it. Like, I don't know. Maybe I will. But I literally came to that conclusion this morning after reading some of the tweets about, you know, that gaming's very different now. And it's sort of like I would like want to buy it. And I'm like, this isn't.
No, I think the NCAA football game is not going to be very different. I think it's going to be literally you turn it on and you play the sport game. And you can do the online shit if you want, but there's probably still going to be a dynasty mode. It's going to be all that stuff.
Yeah. But, you know.
But you could probably business expense it.
Oh,
write one story about I'm simulating the USC season, and then suddenly it's a business expense.
No, I think it would be.
Yeah.
Like the whole system and everything.
Yeah, the whole fucking thing.
I had to buy this because everyone's talking. I mean, literally, you could justify that because everyone's talking about it. But
yeah.
I kind of think. I got enough like other stuff going on.
Yeah, you know? I get it.
But I'll watch. I'll watch some clips or, you know, we'll see.
Ryan aged 7 years in the last 5 minutes. I love it.
I think so. No, dude, I'm like getting old sucks.
How old are you? Like 60?
I'm 53. Worked out this morning.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
No, I can stay young with that stuff. But some of the stuff I'm like, oh, I can't do that. Like. Yeah, reading those tweets, I was just like, I don't want add-ons. I don't want all, you know, just like, I just want to play the game. And it sounds like it might be kind of complicated. But I guess tomorrow is going to be like the full release. They'll show like all the stuff. And yeah, but July 19th, is that when it is?
July 19th.
Yeah. We'll see. See if you buy it and then play it for 10 hours and then stop.
I'm my David Woods guarantee is that it will be between 10 and 20 hours that I will play that game, and then I will never pick it up again.
Well, who would, like, would you do a dynasty mode, like, with UCLA, or would you, like, pick a small school?
So what I typically do is I play as, like, a team a couple of times, and then what I used to do with the NCAA games, but this is when I had a lot more time, is I would find, and I think a lot of people do this, I would find the shittiest possible school.
Yeah.
And then try to raise them up into a like a 6-star dynasty or whatever.
Yeah.
I
mean, the recruiting part was fun. Like, I remember doing that. Like,
I would stop playing the games and I would just do recruiting and simulate the season and see if I could do it that way, which is like barely experiencing life. Like, I would often think about that and be like, what am I doing here? I'm mashing a button every now and then and just simulating this. Is this a metaphor? What is going on?
Yeah.
It's not. Don't think about it too deeply. So, yeah. A lot of fun, though.
I think I mentioned this on the show before, but back in the day, I remember, like, I was at Rivals at the time. I had left Rivals 2014 to go to Scout. And Rivals was in talks with EA to... You know, you have a recruiting thing and there's 5 stars and 4 stars and all that stuff if you ever played the game. But it was going to be branded by Rivals. You know, they were going to be, you know, this is when Rivals was much bigger. They've lost a lot of their better sites over the years and stuff. But still some good people that work there. I like them. But, like, you know, they're not as big as they were then. But they were the biggest brand then. And then they were going to be part of it. And I think the NCAA, like, put the kibosh on it. And this was part of the whole reason why, you know, they were fighting NIL. They didn't want... I think any way to make money outside of what they were making money, they didn't want that to happen. And like having like, you know, networks like Rivals making money off the recruiting process, a lot of it being because the schools themselves can't talk about these recruits until they're signed. So there was other outlets that would talk about the recruits and say, hey, you know, UCLA is recruiting this guy or USC or Texas is recruiting that guy. And the fans cared about it, but the schools can't officially talk about it till it's signed. So it was going to be a big deal, and then the NCAA shut it down. But it was part of the whole, you know, everything that was going on back then, they were trying to stop. And obviously the floodgates have opened now, and we got the game again. So I don't know if there's any branding, if 247 or On3 or anybody has, like, tried to get that or if they're doing it. So I'm curious to see how that works.
What they should also do next year and the year after is slip that same $500 and a video game system to, like, the top 300 and 247 or whatever, and have the recruits in the game too.
Ooh,
yeah. Now like we're it. Getting stupid. Hell yeah.
Ben says no Kibby Dome in the game. That's a no-go. I wonder why there's no Kibby Dome.
I don't know.
Maybe they didn't sign the thing or whatever. I think a lot of people had to kind of sign into that. This someone brought this up on our message board, and since I've just brought it up to you, I want to want to get your thoughts on it. One of the rules, all the rules for the NCAA is changing. You're very tired, David.
No, I've been yawning a lot. I don't know why.
Yeah. One of the rules is, like, say UCLA gets a big commitment. You know, Deshaun Foster gets a big commitment from a class of 2025 guy. He took an official visit and he tweets out, "I'm committed to be a Bruin." Deshaun Foster can't mention anything, or UCLA can't officially say, "Hey, this guy's going to come to US, come to UCLA." Do you think that rule could change where you could talk about uncommitted prospects? That's one rule that seems like, you know, all the rules are kind of up for debate.
I think
now.
All of those rules are kind of stupid. I think the idea was you aren't going to recruit through public channels. But I think once a person has given like a verbal commitment, I think you should be free to talk about them. And like there's like weird things where like players who are on the team aren't supposed to talk about like players who are coming in if they are not yet signed as well. And so it just leaves a lot of room for rules violations from a lot of people who don't even know they're violating a rule.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's the story of the NCAA. But I would think, simplify all that crap and just make it so, like, if a guy has verbally committed, if he has publicly announced a commitment, you can talk about him freely.
I think that would make sense. I know. I remember, like, the Khalil brothers, Ryan Khalil was at USC. He was an All-American center. His brother, Matt, was a like five-star offensive tackle, and he couldn't talk about it, that his brother was going to come and join him, you know, so stuff like that. This just seems kind of outdated. So we'll see if that changes.
Yeah.
We do have some questions, I think. Let's do a voicemail.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Perk. My question is for Dave. I want to say 2 weeks or so ago, The Athletic had a article on Deshaun Foster and kind of how he's been changing up the game for UCLA's recruiting. And I know when I'd asked about what your kind of measure of success for him would be, you'd kind of said kind of what he initially does on recruiting kind of within that first year and how he turns things around. And while I know he's only a few months into the job, I'm curious if kind of based on that Athletic article and what some other things are coming out, if you feel like he's actually making a difference and things are going to change, or are you still a little hesitant? Curious to get your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Good question. I'm
hey, what's up, guys?
Oops, sorry.
Jeez. I'm still in kind of the same boat. I think he's hitting the marks as they go. And I think it's just, you got to keep it's, the way to think about where UCLA is now, like that, it's just such a huge mountain to climb, and it requires not making missteps along the way. Right now, he hasn't made a misstep. Like, it's been good, 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 good. I would think the one thing that was a misstep was probably divulging NIL numbers to a donor dinner, and then some idiot published it all, which you just don't want to have public information out there about, you know, who's getting paid what. In this competitive level, which is very against what I would think on a personal level in the workplace, which is interesting because people should have their salaries so you know how to leverage for more. Anyway, in college competition, it's a bad idea for a boss to divulge that information. Probably shouldn't have done that. Probably should have known it was going to get leaked, even if not by that idiot, somebody else. Anyway. Other than that, he's been very, very good. It's been pretty good recruiting. They've had some packed official visit weekends. They're looking good for a four-star quarterback. Kind of the way UCLA should be recruiting is kind of how they are recruiting. And if he can parlay it, I think given how beaten down the program has been and how beaten down the fan base has been, I don't know if he's going to get, 3 years of runway to make this thing work. I think he needs to start showing something, but I don't think it needs to be that much. But if they make a bowl game this year, I think that would be more than enough. If they're just, 5-7, but really competitive, I think that's enough. But I don't think they can afford a disaster season. like a 2-10 or a 3-9. I think that's the point at which, and not that I think that that's justified. I think that could absolutely happen, and it would totally be the fault of Chip Kelly. But I think the fan base would have a hard time stomaching another just absolute morale beating of a season. So it's a really narrow path for him. And I've talked about this before. It's just it's so narrow because of all the harm Chip Kelly did to the program. But he has a chance. I mean, he's not fallen off the path. And that's really all you can ask at this point. You know, we'll see how it continues through the summer. But this was kind of one of the check-in points heading into June. And I think at this point, you still have to be kind of cautious, thumbs up.
I'm seeing more like positive, like UCLA recruiting nuggets on like Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, there's just a lot more because they're doing it more. Like they're actually doing their jobs. And like, this is where like I don't want to get like too far out of our skis talking about Deshaun Foster and the staff, because like they may or may not be doing a great job, but they're doing their jobs. That's the standard that we're all talking about, like, oh, yeah, they're hurdling everything. It's because Chip Kelly wasn't doing his job for, you know, the better part of 6 years. So that Deshaun Foster is seems impressive. And, you know, maybe it will be in the fullness of time. But right now it's he's doing his job. And UCLA is a good place to recruit to. And you can get guys to come in on visits like. You should have every official visit weekend that you are allowed. There should be probably 4 stars coming in on that visit. It's UCLA. It's not. I can say this still because we're not yet a Big Ten podcast. It's not Indiana. It's not Minnesota. It's not Rutgers. Like, it's UCLA. It's in LA. It's in California. It can get. You can get lots of interest into the program. And if you bring in you know, 24 stars over 5 official visit weekends, you're going to get a couple of them. If you bring in 10 5-stars over the course of, you know, all of your official visit weekends, you might get one of them. Just do it. Do your fucking job. It's not that hard. Maybe it is hard. I don't know. But you get paid a lot of money to do it.
So just do it.
Do it your job. Like, don't come up with, like, newfangled reasons for why you can't do your job, Chip Kelly. Just do your job. You're getting paid. Dude got paid $6 million to literally be a gym teacher. Like, that's what being a football coach is. The hard part is all the shit he didn't want to do. Donor relations, going to events, recruiting, all the crap that sucks about it. You don't just get to say, I don't do that, because that's not the part. The part you're getting paid for is that, because that's how you actually win. Mm. It's not like how you draw X's on a sheet. That's what being an offensive coordinator is, you chump.
That's what he is now.
And he still has to recruit.
A little bit, yeah. All right. So you're still on the fence about Chip Kelly's.
Yeah, I know. I still feel really good about it.
Let's see. Ben Van said, humorless Big 12. Oops, sorry. Put this different one up. He said, humorless Big 12 podcast in my future.
Hey, I want to make this clear.
Crying emoji.
We're not rejecting you.
No, we'd love to have you.
No, you out there, like, if you want to listen, still listen. We're still going to, like, say some stuff. I mean, I think if there's news items that are fun about the rest of the previous Pac-12.
Yeah, we're not going to ignore them.
We're not going to ignore them. It's just
we'll
like
be very sympathetic to all of those programs.
The game by game coverage of the teams. Really, what this is it's a logistical problem for us. The main problem isn't the off season. The main problem is in season, trying to cover all of those games, trying to do, because like again, we joke about we don't really do anything and we're not working hard. We watch so many of these goddamn games. Like, I sit on my couch for 12 hours every Saturday, and I do reject much better games to watch Oregon State play Cal. And I do that partly because I'm sick in the head, but partly because I want to be able to, like, talk about the game and not feel like I'm just making stuff up. Because if you listen to some national podcasts, they'll recap so many games, and then it turns out they absolutely were not watching any of these, because they'll say things that, like, if you were observing, you know that's not an accurate representation of the game. like not knowing that there's a rainstorm in a game or something like that, you know, yeah. or not knowing there was a blackout or whatever. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in a position where we're trying to cover that many games. And I think the reality is if we do a Big Ten show, we might even have to reformat how we do that because we're not going to be able to watch 18 games on a football Saturday. We're going to try our best. We're going to watch many. We're going to watch a lot of the games, but we're not going to be able to watch even those. So trying to expand this, trying to expand the scope, because what we previously had was in conference play, things would lighten down because we could watch six games instead of 12. Non-conference was always brutal with 12. By trying to do this Pac-12 diaspora for a full season, we would be trying to watch more or less 12 games a week. Obviously, these teams are going to play each other in conference as well, so it might end up being 8 or 9 or 10. But it's too much.
Yeah. And I think we're invested, and like Anthony says, you cannot ignore Deion. No. I mean, I think one of the good things is whatever whatever Colorado's doing, we're going to care about it. You know, Cal and Stanford playing in the ACC, like we're going to care about those things. We want to see what the hell's going on that first trip to Tallahassee or whatever.
Yep.
You know, the Pac-2 for sure. And, you know, can Oregon, win the Big Ten? We'll talk about that. But can Utah go in and win the Big 12? How are those teams going to do? You know, Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. I think we still care about all of that stuff, but we're just not going to break down every game. And I don't think we'll be able to break down every game of the Big Ten either. You know, it'll probably be the bigger games and then the former Pac-12 teams. Like, we will talk about what Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA are doing. And, you know, but if Purdue's playing Indiana and, you know, or, you know, Iowa beats Minnesota, you know, 12-7, like, we're probably not going to go in depth on that one too much.
Yeah.
All right. We have a couple emails too, I think.
All right. Let me.
Is this Who Could Hate the Huskies? Is
that... Yeah, I could do that. Oh, wait. No, you do this one.
This was a Washington license plate. And it was looks like they tried to take off the cover, the Washington Huskies license plate cover. Husky fans, it appears someone tried to remove this license plate frame from our vehicle. Which fan base or bases should we consider to be possible suspects in this crime against our sacred honor? And, I think he's insinuating that it would be an Oregon fan.
Well, so there's some clues here. Okay. It's a California license plate. Mm-hmm. So this is in the great state of California, the Golden State.
Think Cal?
Could be Cal.
Don't think so.
I'm thinking USC fan.
Really?
I'm thinking an angry USC fan.
Potential.
I
don't think they care that much, though.
I think
they're kind of focused on themselves more than anything.
Yeah.
For Washington.
You know what I would need? I would need a location. Where if this was at a Dodger game, I would say 100% USC fan.
Okay.
But it's hard to say. It's so hard to say.
I think James is insinuating it's an Oregon fan, but we'll see.
Who could hate the Huskies? Such a good point.
Yeah.
Could be an Arizona fan. Actually, that might be my first pick.
Okay.
Yeah, they're still mad about Jed Fish. All right, this is from Dan. Podcast of Champions question. My suggestion for the pod for the 2024 season, since the Pac-12 is no longer listed by priority, 1, must preview and recap the Pac-2. The Oregon State game and the Washington State game is covered no matter who they are playing. 2, must preview and recap USC and UCLA, since it's the Ryan and David show. 3, if there are ex-Pac-12 teams playing each other, cover that game. Obviously cover when Cal plays Stanford, Colorado plays Utah, Arizona plays ASU, Oregon plays Washington, etc. 4, if there are less than 6 games being previewed that week, then go ahead and cover the Oregon and Washington games against their Big Ten opponent, not Oregon or Washington non-conference games, unless it is an ex-Pac-12 team. What do you think? Well, we're not doing that.
Right. But I like the suggestion. I mean, I think it's...
I like it. Again, if we were just trying for like pure irony, like doing that whole thing, it's just that doesn't seem... It seems like the bit would get old pretty quick. And then it would be like going through the motions until it gets funny again, which is like 5 or 6 years from now.
Yeah. And then the last one we got from Frank. Chip Kelly gets ripped in a podcast. Question for Dave. His questions are always like barely questions. Mm-hmm. Have you listened? It is a question. It's a yes or no question. But have you listened to Shady McCoy, and I think he means DeSean Jackson, podcast regarding Chip Kelly? I haven't listened to their podcast, but apparently they ripped Chip Kelly in it.
Have you? Yeah. So I watched the whole thing.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. And it was DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
So it was really, I mean, it was really insightful. I think
from the NFL perspective.
Right? Yes, it's all from the Eagles days. And like some of it was, I think, the classic kind of hurt feelings of players who got cut. Like there was some of the classic NFL stuff going on. And then there was a lot of stuff that felt Chip Kelly specific. So you have to get past the, like, you know, confident athlete talking about being cut and like how that stung his pride and like the money and all that kind of stuff, and get past that to the stuff that like I thought was really interesting, which was talking about how Chip Kelly was uncomfortable dealing with black people. And it was interesting that they said it two different ways. They said uncomfortable dealing with black people, but then also uncomfortable dealing with star players. And I think there was a conflation of the two. Because I think it was like dealing with the high profile black players on the team was something that he found difficult, which rings true from what I understand about Chip Kelly. And then just not being a good social creature, like not understanding that, like, if one of your players says, I've got a personal thing and I can't make a team meeting, that it's not an affront to you. And also they're not, you know, that they can go do a thing and it shouldn't require them, you know, being nagged to do it over and over again. And so I think it was just a lot of that. There was some of the stuff that I think was just, you know, this is a difference between NFL and college, where it was Chip Kelly who said there's no starters day one, which you can do at college. You can't do that in the NFL, where guys are getting paid a certain salary because they are first string.
They're the starter. Yeah.
And so it was some of that stuff, but I do think it was just, it was more insightful about, like, if you're inclined to empathize with, NFL players. I thought it was more insightful as just a general commentary on the NFL business being pretty shitty and Chip Kelly being a particularly shitty purveyor of that business. But the NFL, it was more of, I took it more as a criticism of the league itself and just how it functions and how easy it is for guys to get cut, and they don't have much recourse, and they have to move, and they have to do all this kind of crap. And it's, I thought it was really insightful. From the, I really enjoyed it. I thought I would enjoy it more as like a commentary on Chip Kelly. And it was some of that. I mean, just some of the things these guys were talking about him in the context of Andy Reid, and saying he was nothing like Coach Andy Reid, and they were all like pretty much the same, saying, well, Andy Reid was a hard ass, but he didn't make you feel like you were a, you know, a piece of shit, yeah, or that you were like less than, you know, somebody worth talking to. And like,
but they felt that way with Chip Kelly.
They felt that way with Chip Kelly. And McCoy came off really well. I thought what he was saying was really interesting. And he was talking about like how, you know, you'd go into the huddle and you'd like try to tell him something like about what you're seeing on the field, and you would just smile and nod and then not even use what you were telling him. And it was just that kind of stuff. And it was also like they were both like really initially excited about him. So it wasn't like they were down on him from the beginning. They were excited, right, about his college offense and all that kind of stuff. And then it just didn't pan out. And then they also said he had this weird, unnatural preference, which was obvious in real time, for Oregon players. Like when he traded LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso. You know, that's not a good trade. Yeah, but, and then like there was one where one of their receivers, one of their white red receivers, used the N-word at some point on like video, and Chip Kelly then like basically had him like talk to the team in like a very controlled way, and then had him away from the team for like 2 weeks. And like these guys were all like friends with him. They wanted to talk to him about it. And instead they made it like this weird thing where they couldn't talk about it. and how it was like, well, that's the kind of thing that should be dealt with within the team. It's not like somebody's going to get beaten up. It's, you know, the whole thing. So anyway, it was really good. If you want to listen to it, you should. But I thought it was more, you know, just kind of, I thought it was a really interesting insight into NFL team dynamics.
Okay.
So
check it out. All right. Well, I think that's going to be it.
Is that it for us?
I think so, unless you have anything else.
I got nothing else. I'm juiced.
Juiced. So, yeah, we'll take a little hiatus, kind of rebrand.
Mostly Ryan's going to Hong Kong if you're tracking his vacations. Mm. He's going to East Asia next week, and he'll be gone for probably a couple of weeks.
Yeah, like a week and a half probably, something like that.
So we might come back sometime in June, maybe late June, maybe early July. We'll see. But at that point, we're going to start previewing Big Ten crap.
Yeah.
That's the last time I'm going to call it crap. I'm going to call it the new Conference of Champions.
Yeah, which I guess it would be now.
Yeah.
With all the national championships.
Do we have to change our Twitter? Like our @? How do we do that? Can we change it or we'll do we have to get a new one?
I think we can just change it.
Oh, man.
We'll see.
I'm glad I've got a good intern here to figure that out for us.
Yeah. This is where David's going to shine. I've done a lot of like the back, you know, breaking work here. We're going to let David kind of do this transition.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. All right. Well,
all the money I spent on this office.
I know. We do appreciate everyone that's been listening and tuning in, watching the videos and chatting and sending us emails and voicemails and all that stuff. And hopefully we continue to do that. We're not going to ignore the Pac-12, but we just have to kind of shift a little different direction. But we'll definitely be, if I don't know how many Big Ten podcasts are out there, but we will certainly talk about the former Pac-12 schools more than any of those, probably all of them combined.
And it's going to be very funny for us to pretend to be experts on Purdue football. So get excited for that.
Yeah. We're going to probably make some Big Ten fans mad, which could be funny enough, you know?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good time. I will lay out some political opinions on show one.
Maybe not do that.
All right. I'll save it for show two.
Or maybe not that either.
Show 10?
We'll see. We'll play it by ear.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I guess that's going to wrap things up. For David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys all enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye forever.